Awesome. Thank you guys for showing up tonight. We've got a fantastic call for you this evening. This is Brian with Smarter Networker. And as you know, you are on the prospecting and closing workshop. This is week two, Tuesday night, and tonight is focused on prospecting. And our special guest and coach is Jackie O'Quinn, and we'll talk about him in just a second. But man, we are in for some great stuff this evening. I'm super excited for you. I'm really proud of you as well for having done such a great job in our warm-up week. You guys did just a fantastic job getting off to a great start. You're just doing wonderful in that area. I'm going to share some numbers with you in a second here. But before I do that, I'll have a little bit of housekeeping. I would love it if this was the week that you really just turned off all the distractions. No posting over in the Super Friends group during the call. Turn off Facebook, turn off the internet, turn off your computer, and just listen and take notes, because this is what you paid for. This is the training tonight. This is the meat and potatoes right here. This is everything that you're looking for, the tips and the tricks and the coaching that is going to take you to another level. It's going to come from tonight's call and our next 3 weeks of live calls. And that is where the information's at. And catching that information in the context that's being presented is so critical. So please, please, please do yourself a huge favor. Get every penny's worth out of this class, because we want to see your numbers improve even more for next week. And just every week get exponentially better. And it starts by, putting yourself in position to be able to get the information and absorb it. So please turn off everything you possibly can that's the distraction, and just stay plugged into what Mr. Jackie O'Quinn is going to be delivering to you guys tonight. Let me dive into the numbers a little bit first. In our warm-up week, in our practice week, you guys did a fantastic job as a group. Again, there's about 140 people in this group, and you guys did 16,347 dials, which is huge. I know over and on the Super Friends group, a lot of you made your very first dial, which is so powerful and so important in your career. A lot of you made your first cold market dial or your first warm market dial. Both of those are just huge steps in the right direction. As a group, you guys did, actually had 1,706 conversations with prospects. You converted that into 462 presentations. And so that is really fantastic. You guys have all just done an amazing job. I'm going to save the number of signups for Thursday night, which is pretty awesome numbers as well for our first week out of the gate and sort of a warm-up week. I know a lot of you were just, trying to organize your desk and figure out stuff and, get your leads and figure out how to use the dialers and all that kind of stuff. So many of you missed a day or two of dialing your first week, and that's totally okay. That's why we have our warm-up week. But now we're into the real deal stuff, and it's time to get really busy. Before we bring on Mr. O'Quinn, I wanted to also kind of give some recognition to the folks that are in the field doing some of our top dialers in the field. And this is really cool. And a lot of you did fantastic. So if you weren't number one, it's okay. Many of you stepped way outside of your comfort zones this last week and did more than you've ever done. And that really is the biggest improvement you can make, is just to go out and do it yourself and set a new personal record for yourself. But we also have some people that did over and above everybody else in certain areas. And so our number one most dialed for cold market. Now, these are people that purchase leads and are making just tons and tons of dials. We actually had two people that went over 1,000, one that hit exactly 1,000, and then Patty Stewart with 1,049 dials. Absolutely amazing. She worked about 35 hours that week, or last week, and in that time, amongst other things, of course, in the business, she did 1,049 dials. Now, in our lukewarm market, which includes, more localized advertising, flyers, referrals, different kinds of things like that, Diane Hightower, 206 dials. Fantastic job, Diane. And then our warm market, which is just the people people that, you've got on your own personal list, Marcy Fairs did 114 dials this week. So congratulations to all you guys. That is really fantastic. Now, the people that got into the most amount of conversations, which is, you know, not necessarily a number that you can control, but it's really an important number. Harlan Bontrager, 152 conversations with new cold prospects this week, which is fantastic. Great job, Harlan. Trevor Hartwick, 30 conversations with lukewarm market, which is awesome. And then Marcy Fares and Francis Krebs both tied with 31 conversations. So Marcy was number one in dials with 114, and out of that has 31 conversations with folks, which is just fantastic. The most number of people brought to a presentation. So this is a, you know, number, highest number of people that looked at the business. Mary McKenzie for the cold market, 40 presentations this week. That is awesome, awesome job, Mary. Congratulations. And I know you're working hard, and you also will be one of the top people in the upcoming segments as well, which you'll hear about on Thursday. You had a great week. Trevor Hartwick, also lukewarm. He had 6 presentations. Fantastic. So he took his 30 conversations, and he converted that into 6 presentations. And then Paul Carroll in warm market showed the business 10 times. So congratulations to all you guys. You were the top producers in your relative markets. And we're just so excited about everything you've done this in our first warm-up week. And this is the week to really buckle down, and you've got your groove now. It's time to really go to work. And tonight's call is going to take you to a whole nother level. The reason we give you a warm-up week is so that you're on the phones doing the work. And even if you're messing it up, you know you have better questions. You're looking for a specific piece of information. You have some experience under your belt. And so tonight's call is going to be that much more potent and powerful for you, because when you hear that nugget that is going to change the way you talk to somebody, or you hear that nugget that is going to change the inflection in your voice, that's the thing. Those are the little intangible things that are going to make a huge difference in your response and how people respond to you on the phone. And Mr. O'Quinn, Jackie O'Quinn, has been doing this business now for, I believe, right around a decade. Had amazing success in all kinds of recruiting. He does a lot of cold market recruiting, but he definitely has also built business with warm market. He's one of those folks that knows that he's got the greatest deal in the world, and he's willing to talk to the people he loves about his business just as much as he's willing to talk to people that he doesn't know. And because of that, he has shown the business probably more times than anybody. And if you've watched those videos that we posted, you know, Jackie didn't start off as a superstar. He had to unlearn some skills. He had to learn some new skills. And he had to just keep making the dials. And he stuck it out. He kept growing. He kept learning. He kept plugging in. And his success is unbelievable. One of the top recruiters in his company, and is now willing to step away from that and to teach people from all companies, anybody that's willing to learn. The top 140 people are here tonight on this call, willing to learn from somebody who's had massive success in the past and is currently also in very much in activity mode. And that is the kind of person you want to learn from whenever possible, somebody who's doing this today and having success today. And so without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Jackie O'Quinn to take over our coaching call for our prospecting segment tonight. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you very much, Brian, for that introduction. And I want to say thank you, Brian, for all that you do for all of us with Smarter Networker. You guys have done a phenomenal job putting that whole thing together, keeping it organized, managing it. I mean, you guys have an entire system over there that I can totally plug my brand new team members, even some of my prospects, in directly into that system over there. And I know they're going to be taken care of. I know they're going to be going through the training. I know it's going to be maintained. They've got webinars. You know, you guys even do product support and everything else that they call in. It's just another resource that I can use that leverages my time. And what I've learned in this industry without question is all about leverage. And you guys are a tremendous part of that. You particularly, Brian, you're heading that whole thing up, and I am thankful that you're there, and I'm honored. And I can tell all of you on this line this evening, there's a lot of people in this industry that, you know, quite honestly, they're looking out for themselves. And the truth is, most of us got into this industry because of somebody we were looking out for ourselves. But Brian's the kind of guy that, he got started in this industry because he wanted to succeed. Yes, he got started in this industry because he had personal goals. But the thing that has drove him all these years to stay in this industry, the thing that has driven him back into working with Smarter Networkers, because he had a passion to be able to see people take advantage of Danny's training, because he genuinely has a heart to believe that this training, without question, and I agree with him on this, this training, without question, is the best, most duplicatable, most straightforward, strategic, no holds bar, get you to where you want to go training that exists on the planet today. This is the kind of training that anyone can follow. And I'm so thankful that Brian is heading up Smarter Networker, and all of you on the line, if you ever call in over there to talk to anyone, whatever you do, thank those guys, because they don't have to be there. Brian and all of them stepped away from what they were doing previously in this industry to be able to head up Smarter Networker. Some of them, work part-time with Smarter Networker or whatever they do. I actually don't know what all they do. I just know that I'm thankful that they're there, and whether you realize it or not, you want to be thankful that they're there. So thank you, Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jackie. I am hosting this call from my home office here in Georgia. I just want you to know that I am in this industry with you every single day. I had advertising campaigns running today. In fact, I need to make sure I pause those tonight. But I had advertising campaigns running today. I talked to prospects on the phone today. I read this script today. I'm doing this every single day with you. Hopefully that gives me a perspective that I'm able to help you with in real time, because, I'm talking to advertising today. It's not like I did this just 10 years ago. I'm still doing it. But with that being said, I want you to know this, that I'm here to be able to help you with your business on this call. I am not here looking to grow my business on this call. I hope you catch that. Not only do I not need any of you to ever attempt to join me in business, you will never be allowed to join me in my business ever. So do yourself a favor and please do not try to hunt down what company, organization, or product I market. Please do not try to contact me, personally in any way. Outside of these classes, I will do everything I can to help you inside of these classes. I will spend up to every last minute answering questions, doing whatever I can to help you inside these classes. Outside of these classes, I am building my own business, and I have my own family and my own life and things to take care of. But I am not here looking to just grow my reputation or to grow my personal home business, and that's important for you to understand. I am here to serve your business and to serve your needs. So those of you who have team members that are in this class, rest assured that even if they attempted to reach out and contact me, I'm not here to work with them or to talk with them or whatever. I'm here to help you grow your current skill set where you're at right now so you can take advantage of advertising. I will never teach you to build a business by going to some, super-duper training seminar and, whatever, network with everybody and try to find the big fat leader in the room. In fact, I can tell you, for a number of reasons, why that is the last person that you would want to work with in the first place. I'll go ahead and tell you this. The people that you want to work with in this industry, a lot of people will teach you. You want to find the leader. You want to find the guy that's got experience. There's these things out there called genealogy lists. I'm not trying to step on any toes, but if any of you are calling genealogy lists, it can work. You can make money with those things. There's plenty of reasons not to use a genealogy list, by the way. But one of the reasons is because one of the goals with those types of lists is you're looking for that big leader out there. You're looking for someone who's, they've been in one big deal and now they're going to hop to your big deal and bring, 1,000 people with them, and you guys are all going to get rich and be made in the shade, whatever. First of all, you need to know the truth. The truth is, typically when a leader hops now in this day and age, they usually hop by themselves and they never are as good as they once were in their previous deal. If a leader hops, if they can be wooed away from some company to hop into your company, then they can quickly be wooed away from you and hop off to something else. That is a business built on quicksand. It comes and it goes just as quick as it got here. Years ago, I had a big leader guy who just ended up in my business. It's just the way it worked. Through normal prospecting, I didn't go seek him out or anything. And I can remember having a one-on-one coaching call with Danny Johnson. One of the very first things she said was, "Jack, you just need to know that he is here for a short term, and he will leave, and some of the people will leave with him. But there will be only a remnant left, and it will be those new people that got started somewhere in his transition that will be left." And that's where I learned what I want to share with you right now. A long-term stable business is built with the brand new people, particularly people who haven't had success or have never worked in this industry before. And that's really ultimately what you're looking for. When you're calling people from an advertising campaign, you're calling all types of people. You're talking to people from all walks of life. They're all looking for something to do from home, all of them. Most of them have never had experience with the home business at all, and most of them, if they have had, some of them have been in different businesses in the past. They've never really had any success. So you've got a brand new blank slate to work with. If they decide to join your business, they're going to be coachable. They're going to be teachable. They're not going to have their own ideas that's going to be holding them back as much as someone else who's attempted to build something in the past and had some success and it didn't last for them for whatever reason, whatever, whatever. So that's the kind of business that you want to build. You want to be focused on those brand new people starting from the bottom up, so to speak. I want you to understand, I was so excited getting ready for this call tonight, looking at the numbers and just thinking about it. You are part of the absolute greatest industry that exists on planet Earth today, and I fully believe that with everything in me. And when I say industry, I get that there's people on this call that are in, like, the health and wellness industry. There's people that, you know, probably are in insurance. You know, there's people in cosmetics. You know, there's people in travel. There's people in, you know, whatever, air fresheners, whatever, you know, legal services, whatever. There's a gazillion different types of industries on this line. But the one thing most of us have in common is we're part of the home business industry. We're either part of the home business industry or maybe you have the ability through some sort of leverage. We're all part of the direct sales industry. We all have the ability to control our own income working from home. This industry, unlike any other, is phenomenal, and you need to understand this because the one thing that is going to distract you in this industry is every shiny object under the sun. Everything out there can look very interesting and enticing until you, unless you make the mistake and you get distracted and you run down that rabbit hole to realize, oh, you know, that's a lot of work or that doesn't work out as advertised. You have to recognize that you're already part of the greatest industry that exists on planet Earth today. And I genuinely believe that. This industry, more than any other, has the ability to take average people with, you know, very basic, limited skill sets, average intelligence, and be able to take them to a place where they can out-earn their IQ. And I mean that. That's it. I am one of those people. You need to understand, I failed out of college twice before eventually graduating with a two-year degree. It took me 5 years to get a two-year degree. That's not a joke. So when Danny talks about me being really bad, you know, on the phone and things like that, listen, I'm just someone. One of the things Danny taught me early on is that what you lack in skill, you make up in numbers. That gave me a lot of hope and a lot of faith because I knew that I could stay in this thing long enough and work the numbers to have success in the beginning until my skill eventually caught up. So most of you on this line tonight, if you stay focused and diligent and you apply what you're going to be learning in these classes and what you would learn at First Steps to Success, I wouldn't be shocked if every single person on this line tonight could have success far faster than I did. I was on calls just like this one when Danny was teaching these calls. I was on them for, like, I don't know, I would have to go back and look how many classes I did. I mean, I don't know, probably 15, 12, 10, whatever, classes just like this one. I mean, it took me a long time to get this. But what I learned is that this industry offers such potential for nearly anybody. This industry offers so much stability. I mean, one of the reasons that doesn't get talked about, and you may not, and I've learned this, you know, some things are taught and some things are caught, and this is just something that I've caught over the years. One of the reasons that, let's just say the health and wellness industry, let's just say that Mr. John Smith says, you know what, I want to start a vitamin company. Well, he's got so many different models he could choose. He could build that thing, you know, straight internet marketing. He could build it straight infomercials. He could build it, you know, through direct mail. Or he could say, you know what, I want to build it through the network marketing, the home business model. The reason that people choose this model is because they understand that this model, above every other model, creates more stability, more consistency. What does that mean for you? It means that this is the model that's going to produce the most stable, the most long-term income that exists, period, in the story. Someone commented on one of the Super Friends, you know, I had several feedback when I said something about this industry will allow you to out-earn every internet marketer on the planet. And I genuinely mean that. Like, and that's a pretty bold statement. It's a very bold statement. But I know I have met some guys over the years that have made a lot of money, as much as $1 million a month. I know someone right now, a Danny client I could name by name, who's built a massive, massive, massive online empire who's made as much as $1 million in a month. But I also know someone in this industry who's built an old school, belly to belly, and this guy does over $1 million a month. Here's the biggest difference. The guy with the online empire had $1 million a month. the guy who's built it old school belly to belly. And when I say old school belly to belly, I mean this guy doesn't even have a website to my knowledge, period. This guy doesn't, he still does in-home meetings. He does hotel presentations and church presentations. He uses flip charts, the whole nine yards. And he does over $1 million a month consistently. That's stability. And he is out earning probably nearly, he doesn't have the overhead of, you know, some of these other business models out there. He doesn't, I mean, so you need to understand what you're a part of. And it can blow your mind when you start learning the skills that we're going to be teaching in these classes. You'll learn that they're very simple skills. There's nuances that you need to learn. There's areas that you need to improve. But this is, you don't need a college degree. All you have to have is good old-fashioned desire and be willing to follow a system, a very simple, a very duplicatable system. That's where your stability comes from. That's where your income gets leveraged to the freaking moon, is when you're able to help other people do what you do. There's a reason we're going to teach what we teach tonight. The thing that's really important for you to understand is that I this is the same system that I started building, you know, 10 years ago. When I say system, reading the exact same scripts. I always get asked a few questions. One is, do you really read the scripts? You need to understand something. I read these scripts every day of my life, several times a day. I literally read the scripts. The difference is I have it typed up on my computer screen, but it's the exact same script. And I literally read these scripts, word for word. I read the closing script. The people who do work with me that are a part of my team, they know this. There's a reason that I read the scripts. And I would love to tell you that I was, you know, this, it was a stroke of genius that had me focus on reading these scripts. But it, I really heard something once, and Dani had said at one of her First Steps Success events, and I got to tell you, if you've never been to First Steps, if you're on this call and you have not been to First Steps Success training event, you need to get registered for the next one. Just mark my words, just get registered. But one of the things that she said was, she said, you don't have to even worry about memorizing the scripts. Just read them. And she said, reading is duplicatable. If you can read, everyone can read. And if people can see you read, the number one reason people get started in this business is because they have to answer two questions for themselves. The first one is it simple and can I do it? And when people realize that you're reading scripts, they realize, wow, that's simple. Wow, I can do that. And I'm going to show you, That's key, by the way. I'm going to show you a unique method during this class of how I've built with warm market and lukewarm market, and it is all focused on the premise of being able to teach someone how to read a script. I got to share this story with you. A couple of years ago, it's been about 3 or 4 years ago, I had a friend of our family's who was without a job, and my wife said, is there any way that you could hire her for something just to help her out? Because I believe in teaching a man to fish, not giving a man a fish. You know what I'm saying? If I can help you through by you helping yourself, that's my preferred method. I'll give charity, but I need to give charity to people that can't help themselves do anything. So she was out of work. My wife said, "Is there something you can do?" And I said, "You know what? I'll hire as an assistant." Okay? And I hadn't ever tried anything like that, and I figured worst case scenario, it was going to cost me some money, and I was helping out a friend. So one of the things that I did was she knew my family for a while, and I guess I didn't think about how much she knew about us, but, she knew our family. And I brought her into my office, and I just kind of showed her what I did because I felt like she needed to understand it. So I literally unpaused an advertising campaign, just like unpausing, advertising with EarnPro or whatever. And when the leads started flowing in, advertising was coming in, I just started calling them. And I had the script open, and I was just reading the script. And I had the script open on my desktop, meaning because I have it typed in my computer, and I just gave her the script to follow along in the script book just so she would, know what I was doing. And so the morning went by fine, and I put her to work doing whatever. I can't remember now. But about middle of the day, we were taking a break and we were eating lunch or whatever, and she said, "Hey, can I admit something to you, and will you not get offended?" And, of course, what do you say to that? I said, "Sure." She said, "I got to be honest with you. I have always thought you were a little bit of a liar." And I was taken back. And I, "What do you mean a little bit of a liar?" She said, "Well, I've heard you say before that you made the bulk of your wealth by reading scripts." She said, "And that just sounded ridiculous. Like I just thought there's no way. And I genuinely thought you just weren't being honest." I said, when did you realize I was being honest? She said, when I sat in your office this morning and watched you read a script. She said, it just blew me away. And that is something when I meet people, other entrepreneurs or whatever, even to this day, it seems like some people get hung up on this, like they can't believe it. Listen, if you think you're too smart to read a script that has made hundreds of millions of dollars, and that literally, Danny and her clients, by this point, these scripts have been read for, I don't know, 20 years now. I personally have made millions reading these scripts. So I know among all of our, you know, I don't know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of clients worldwide, there has to be hundreds of millions of dollars that have been made reading these scripts. So don't let that be your hang up. Don't let that be your hang up for even a moment. I want you to grab a pen and paper. I'm going to be calling people out who I'm just looking at your numbers and I see some errors I can help you out with. When I'm talking to someone, there's no way in this class I'm going to be able to work with everybody. But as I'm working with an individual, I want you to listen to yourself. You're going to hear people and you're going to be like, oh, you know, I do better than that. Or, oh, I don't have that problem. Or, wow, they sound good. And then you're going to help me, you're going to hear me tweak something or help them in some way. And you're like, wow, I didn't even catch that. I didn't realize that. Listen, here's what I want to tell you. Each and every person that I'm talking with, first of all, it takes a tremendous, I'm working with them for two reasons. One is because they've done the work. They've already done the work. They've already have a track record of putting in the effort. And I believe that I can help them improve in some area. And so that's our goal, to get on the phone to be able to help them one-on-one improve in what they're doing so they can increase their numbers, increase their skill sets, ultimately have more success for themselves, and eventually be able to help others have success by developing their skill sets. But at the same time, it takes a tremendous amount of courage in front of everyone that's on this call to be able to publicly get coached and trained. So if you're of the Christian faith at all, as I am, then when they step up, if nothing else, give a quick, you know, 2-second prayer for them. Lord, bless them. Lord, you know, help them do good, whatever. Lord, give them courage, whatever. It's nothing to be nervous about. I am not here to bite your head off. I will be direct. I'm going to help you. But my goal is not in any way to, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to candy coat anything. I'm going to get you to success. My goal is to help you improve immediately and quickly. At the same time, areas that I see that you're doing great, I'm going to make certain that I point that out because it's important for you to realize where you're doing good and where you have your strengths. One thing that I've learned over the years is that a lot of people don't know where they can improve, or they mistakenly think they can improve in one area, and oftentimes they can improve in another area. And at the same time, people oftentimes don't understand where they're strong at. They oftentimes think they're strong in a particular area, but they might be strong somewhere else and they didn't know it. Or they think that, you know, okay, I'll just give you a great example. Salespeople over the years, just in my experience, no offense to anyone who's a natural born salesperson, salespeople have no fear. They typically have thick skin. They have a strong work ethic and they're able to get it done. Unfortunately, many salespeople struggle, for example, with reading a script because they built business successfully on their own personality. So that's an area where, you know, they may struggle with it they don't expect to struggle with. I just want you to know this. Whenever you hear me working with someone one-on-one, just know that it takes a tremendous courage, and I'm working with someone who's putting forth the effort, and I want to be able to help them succeed. As you hear me work with someone, if you have a question about anything, I want you to jot down your questions because hopefully, I don't want to give any guarantees tonight, but hopefully, before the night's out, I'll have a chance to be able to, you know, take a few questions. And so we're going to go ahead and get this started. I've got some people that Brian and I have kind of put together that's done some good efforts, and we got some areas we can definitely work on. The first person that I want to work with, I'm going to mess his name up, is Harlan Bontrager, I think. Gary, we're looking for Harlan, H-A-R-L-E-N.
Okay, and what's the spelling of the last name again, Jackie?
Bontrager.
Okay, let's see. There he is. Harlan, your line's open.
Hey, Harlan.
Hey, Jackie.
Welcome to the call.
Thanks. How's it going?
It's going awesome. It's going awesome. By the way, great job. 726 dials.
Thank you.
And about 15 hours. Good stuff.
Yes.
Let me do some quick math just for everyone on the call here.
I hit it hard.
I got a question for you. So people are going to wonder this if they don't know already. Just looking at the number of hours, and I'm going to cover this previously. Hang on for me just one moment, Harlan. So here's the thing. Danny teaches that you should be able to make $100 in 3 hours. If there is absolutely no other lesson that you get out of these 4 weeks, this is the lesson that you need to learn. And I think she may have went over this in the recording last week. I can't remember. I've listened to so much of her training between now and then. But this is important. You should make a minimum, I mean a bare minimum, you should be able to make 20 dials per hour. And that's even if you're dialing by hand. I mean, and that's an average. So if you end up talking to a lot of people in an hour, you might not make 20 phone calls. But on average, you should average at least 20 dials an hour. That's leaving voicemails the whole nine yards. And now people often say, you know, how is that possible? Listen, I'm going to show you how it's possible. In fact, I can tell you that, you know, a lot of people can dial more than that. Harlan did about 48. But a lot of people can do, you know, 25 or 30 or more. So how is that possible? Well, think about this. Of every phone call that you make when you're calling people, when you call them, you're going to call them about a good number is 10%, but typically about 5% to 10%, somewhere there normally, is going to be your contact ratio most of the time. So if you make, you know, 100 dials, you know, you're going to talk to somewhere between 5 or 10 people. So let's break that down a little bit further. If you, you know, if you call 20 people, make 20 dials, you're going to usually talk to 1 to 2 people on average. That's just an average. So what does that mean? Well, let's look at it. 18 of those dials you're going to call and not reach a live person. Now, let's assume that you leave a voicemail for all of those people. All of those people. If you leave a voicemail for all of those people, how long does it take to leave a voicemail? Harlan, how long does it take to read that voicemail script, if you had to guess?
I actually wasn't leaving voicemails. I would guess probably 30 to 45 seconds.
Yeah, so let's just say a minute. Let's be conservative. That's 18 minutes, and that's leaving a voicemail for everyone. And I'll teach you how I do this later. You don't even leave a voicemail for everybody, but that's 18 minutes there. So let's say that you talk to 2 people. Well, look, a normal conversation when you're reading that script should be 10 to 15 minutes. But even if it's 15 minutes each, and again, these are average numbers. You can occasionally have, you know, someone who takes a while to get to a website or whatever, but on average. So even if it takes 15 minutes each, that's 30 minutes in those 2 conversations. 30 plus 18 is still 48 minutes. You still got 12 minutes if you got to take notes on someone, if you send in emails, whatever you got to do. So that's assuming that you talk to one person. If you only talk to one person in an hour, you could probably, you know, dial that number, you could dial the phone 30 times. One of the things that can frustrate you the quickest is when you convince yourself that you worked all day and you made 40 phone calls. And I know this from experience because Stacy from North Carolina, who's hosting the closing calls, I can tell you, I'll tell myself right here. I got started in this industry before he did, and many months later, probably close to a year later or a little less, I brought him into this industry. And I'll never forget, and it's funny now, but I'll never forget when he said, well, how many phone calls do you think you should be making if you're doing this like all day? And I said, well, like a full time? He's like, yeah. I was like, I don't know, probably like 40. And I made that same mistake. And I got to tell you, that leads to frustration quicker than anything else, assuming that you're doing more work than you are only because it takes you longer to get it done. So with that cleared up, Harlan, let's talk about this a minute. Congratulations, by the way, 726 dials. That is a heck of an effort. 152 conversations, what does that mean?
It means someone picked up.
Okay. It does not mean that you read the script to them.
No, not for all of them.
That's good. That helps your other number here out a lot. Okay, so here's the thing. When you guys turn in your numbers, when everyone turns in their numbers, guys, gals, whatever, conversations means the number of times that you actually read that script to completion. Number of times you actually read it to completion. In other words, when you read that script and you scheduled them for a presentation, whether it was a website, an audio they were listening to, teleseminar, webinar, whatever, when you got that next appointment scheduled and you got off the phone with them, that counts as a conversation. So, Harlan, what this looks like, if I had to guess, you were probably using a dialer program, and this is what the dialer program told you of all the people that picked up?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. That helps clear up some questions for me. That's good, because I was like, wow, only 7 presentations? That makes total sense, though. Okay. If you had to guess, do you have the numbers? Do you know how many times you read the script?
Not exactly, no. Not off of that. Actually, I have to look that up, though.
Okay, yeah, if you can look it up quickly, go ahead and do that, because that will help us out.
Sure. 1 second. Okay, wait, do you mean the whole, when I read the whole script?
Yeah, so it says here that you got 7 people to a presentation, meaning that,
yeah,
that 7 people showed up for a presentation, right?
What was that? 7? Yes.
Okay.
That's when I sent them the presentation anyways.
Okay.
So you
sent them to the presentation. How do you know they went to the presentation? Just because I'm trying to clarify this.
I don't know that for sure. I counted a send as a presentation as when I just emailed them the link.
Okay. So you emailed them a link. Okay, that's good. And
mm-hmm.
when you say you emailed them a link, just out of curiosity, did they even confirm for you? Oh, this is good. Okay, I think I just accidentally figured out the other issue you got here. Okay, because you have 7 presentations, you had no enrollees, you didn't read the closing script or anything after those 7 presentations, right?
No, there were a couple. I would say, there's where I did the closing presentation on like 3, maybe.
Okay, that's a
some minute.
Mr. Brian Niederhouse, if you're on this line, I know you are, just listening in. We really need to know how many presentations were read. That's really more important for Stacy, but I thought we had an issue there. But if he got 3, if he read this closing script at least 3 times and he had 7 people on a presentation, that's okay. That's pretty good. So, okay. So how many times did you had 152 people pick up the telephone. Of the 152 people who picked up the phone, do you have any idea how many times you read the prospecting script on page 16?
I would read about 2 paragraphs usually. And then they would hang up or I would get 18 objections.
Yeah, okay. But you ended up getting 7 people to a presentation. Does that mean that only 7 people finished on the phone with you and you sent an email to them?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Okay. I don't mean to ask so many questions, Harlan. I'm trying to figure out what the numbers mean. I got you. Okay. Everybody's business model is a little bit different, so that's why I ask these questions to kind of figure out. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Now, let's talk about this for a minute, just out of curiosity. So 152 people, gosh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more info on that 152, but we'll work with that. Okay, I wanted to see. Now, you said that you sent an email. You sent them a link to the email. Did you do that while you were on the phone with them?
Yes. Okay, so I got to page 18, and then I would send them the link and then schedule a follow-up call, and then there would often not be anyone there. Sometimes there would be someone there, and they'd be like, oh, I don't like sales or whatever. So does that help? Is that
yeah, that does help. Harlan, okay. When you called them back for the follow-up, were you was your intention right then to read the closing script to them? Or do you
Yes, absolutely, yes. Yeah. No,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay. And you
I would read
go ahead.
The 1 in 22. Yeah, the 1 in 22.
Yep, okay. No worries, that's fine. We're focusing on prospecting here. I just wanted to make certain because I know some people have like a 2-step model. And so if you were taking them to another exposure, which you weren't, then there was something I could help you with there. But, okay, so let's – so you out of 152 only that picked up the telephone, you were only able to get 7 of them the email with the link.
Yes, okay. That's right.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm understanding your numbers. Then of the 152, what happened with most of them? Let's just break this down. Let's just break it down to, like, say, 10, right? And
mm-hmm.
trying to get a better percentage or ratio. Out of, let's just say out of 10 people that picked up the telephone, or 20. Let's say 20 people, because it looks like your numbers are basically about 1 out of 20. So let's just say that you actually were able to read the script too. 20 people pick up the phone, meaning they say hello, right? You didn't leave a voicemail, whatever. Someone picks up and says hello. Of that 20 people, what normally happens?
I get 17 objections. there's usually some people said they don't have a computer. they don't have a computer, so, you know, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And some people were like, I request more information. Like you were asking me. Other people said, what did they say? That was, you know, 7 years ago, you know, a long time ago. What else did they say? And some people were just rude and I had to pull out the dirt script and move on.
Okay.
I just everything happened basically. Just any kind of objection. Really.
I gotta tell you, good job it's clear. It is clear that you've done something that I can tell you a lot of people, more than 50% of people 80% of people might not ever make 726 dials in this industry. So first of all, good job for putting in the effort. Second of all, you've dealt with a lot of rejection and you've continued to be diligent and focused. Good job. Good job. How long have you been in this industry, Harlan?
Working it like this since First Steps to Success in San Antonio.
Okay, so how long have you been in the industry as a whole?
About 3 months. 2 months in total.
Nice. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who might not have been to First Steps, or if you have been to First Steps but you haven't got your team members there, you just heard the number one reason why you want to get your new team members to First Steps. Because Harlan never worked as a professional, and he can correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I just heard. He never, ever worked as a professional until after he came out of that training event. Is that right, Harlan?
I was doing it online, with internet marketing.
That means that he was not building a home business as a professional. wow. Okay. All right. So that's why you want to get your people there. Here's the deal. I'm so glad you started picking up the phone and talking to people. How far did you get with the internet marketing arena?
I was building it, and then I just decided, you know what, I want to do this via phone. I want to do it, in person, because there's the skills I can learn through doing it that way.
Yep. Let me explain something to everyone listening in, because I run into this from time to time, and it's mind-blowing, and it is just people not understanding. Everyone who attempts to build a home business through internet marketing, can it be done? Sometimes, yes. But the reality is that most of the time, they spend a lot of money and a lot of effort feeling like they're being productive in their business. The bottom line is, how many people every day are getting exposed to your products and your presentation? Every day. And I don't mean just on a website. So the reason that we teach people to pick up the telephone, the reason you want to teach your team members to pick up the telephone, and the reason that you want to do it, A, is so you can teach it, is the quickest, most duplicatable way to teach someone to make an income. Internet marketing, that's what our advertising companies do. And there are very few people in the home business industry, period, that can do it as well as our advertising companies. Now, those of you who have – I got to say this, and I'm going to step on some toes, but those of you that have experimented in the home business industry, Harlan, I don't need you to name any names, but do you know a couple of quote-unquote guru guys out there in this industry that you attempted to learn from?
Yep.
Here's the thing about those guru guys. If they were so great at what they're claiming they can teach you to do, they wouldn't be teaching you to do it. They would be the advertising companies that are selling you advertising. Because those advertising companies are multi-million dollar companies that are out-earning far more than every guru is trying to teach out there in the whole world of internet marketing. So even if you were successful with that whole concept, even if you somehow could figure out how to produce limitless leads, now you still got to figure out how to enroll them. You still got to figure out how to talk to them. This industry is built on leverage. You outsource everything that you can easily outsource, and the only thing that you can outsource in this industry, which makes this industry so duplicatable, so stable, this is how you create your long-term leveraged residual income, is through relationships. It is through relationships. It is through relationships. So that's the whole reason to get on the telephone. Just so you know this, I read an article one time. Think about this, Harlan. This is crazy. This will blow your mind. Direct mail gets about a half to 1% conversion rate, meaning someone gets a direct mail piece and they'll actually pay money for something in the mail. Banner ads get like a 0.03, as high as a 0.5%. That's quite high, but a conversion rate, meaning someone will click on a banner. And most of you know how often you click on every banner on the internet, not very. But when someone does click on the banner, they'll get, you know, a half a percent or less. They'll actually buy something. Email is about a 1%, I think I said that. Search engine, meaning someone searches something on the internet, they end up clicking on an ad and buying. That has about a 1% conversion rate, meaning they'll buy something. And normally it's something cheap, by the way. Those conversions mean they'll pull out a credit card for anything. It doesn't have to cost $300. It may cost $4. With that being said, the telephone, are you ready for this, Harlan? Telephone across the sales world has about a 17% conversion rate.
Really?
That is staggering. Yes, across, I don't mean your company or my company, I'm just saying across the, you know, the marketing world, when someone is called on the telephone and they're presenting information on something, it has about a 17%, maybe it's 14. It was up there, 14, 17% conversion rate. That's staggering. Why? Well, let me ask you something. When you talk to someone on the telephone, Harlan, don't they automatically have more credibility than some email you got?
Well, with my skill level currently, sometimes.
With your skill level currently, the seven people that you send an email to, I'm willing to bet you, and we don't have any way of knowing this, I'm willing to bet you those seven people paid more attention to your information than anyone else you attempted to send through some other, you know, internet marketing thing you were doing. When this is the part that you, this is the leverage part that you want to understand, ladies and gentlemen. When you talk to people on the telephone, even if they say no, you have planted a credible seed for the life of that person. What do I mean by that? There's still, most of you have companies that have autoresponder sequences. You have the ability to send emails. Does your company have that, Harlan?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. The people that you've spoken on the telephone, even 152 of these people, you made 726 dials. 152 of them picked up the phone and said hello, right?
Yep.
That means they probably at least heard your name, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah. Most of them probably heard, hey, this is, you know, you started the script or whatever, so they heard your name. What are the odds that if they heard your name on the telephone, they're more likely to pay attention to your email out of all the email they get? You're a real person. You really called them. The seven people that went to your presentation, even if they said no, you're going to be emailing them people, your autoresponders are going to be emailing them probably over the next several weeks or months. Maybe the next several years. I got to tell you a story. There's a lady in this class. I'm looking at her name right now. She works with me. I'll give you her first name. His first name is Lindsay. Lindsay she was a lead for me from one of the advertising companies that we use in this industry, probably EarnPro, because I use them a lot. And she, I don't remember a thing about our first conversation. It was totally unremarkable. However, get this, Harlan, she called me about three and a half years later. I would have to look it up in my I got notes on her. I'd have to look it up. But it was many years later, and I got a voicemail that said this, and I'll just give you the equivalent of what it said. She said, "Hey, Jackie, this is Lindsay. I spoke to you in, like, October of 2012 or 11, whatever it was. Give me a call. I'm ready to purchase your $11,000 product." That was her voicemail. I didn't remember ever talking to her, but I did. Lindsay and I, they are friends. She's been to First Steps several times, and she's in these classes. One of the things that she told me, Harlan, was she said she read and kept every email I ever sent her. Why? Because she knew that I was a real person. So that's important, and I hope that gives those of you out there hope, not even just Harlan, but all of you. Even if someone says no, they're just a no right now. Things change for people. Even if they say no, you're planting seeds. You're far more credible than even the quote-unquote multi-gazillionaire guru that's sending them emails. Because you're a real person talking on the telephone. I don't know, has this happened to you yet, Harlan? Because I know you said that you have really been going pretty hard since your last first steps. But has it happened to you yet where someone told you they were shocked that you actually called? Has anyone said, I didn't know someone was going to call me?
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah. Only sometimes. It's only sometimes. But that's the sign right there when that happens that you're – most people are losing personal connection in today's society. Everything's done by digital or it's impersonal. So your business is going to be built on relationships. And people will purchase from you because they believe in you. They believe in what you're saying. They believe that you're a real person. With that said, we could keep going, Harlan. But I want to role play with you, just kind of see what happens. Before we role play, Harlan, I gotta ask you, and I need your permission. I need your permission to be totally honest with you. I need your permission to coach you the very best that I can, and to tell you the truth, even if you're not gonna like it. Do I have your permission? And if I don't, that's okay. But I just need that permission before I can move forward with you because I only want to spend time working with you if I know that I can help you. So do I have
your permission?
You have my permission,
Jackie. Yes, you totally do, Jackie.
Totally. Okay. I need you to pull up your script. And I'll have mine. Just so I'll know where we're at. But anyway. All right. So let's just say that you're calling me. And the phone rings, ring, ring, and I'll just start off. Hello?
Hey, Jackie, how's it going?
It's good.
This is Harlan. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
What is it?
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
I really don't.
To save us both time, I need to ask you a few questions to figure out what information to direct you to. Are you currently working from home?
Pause. Let's try this again. Let me give you a tip. Whenever someone says, by the way, you're doing fine, you're totally doing fine. When someone ever says, if they ever say they don't have a pen and paper handy, okay, it's important for you to recognize that being a leader starts with the very first conversation. You're the one interviewing people to work with you. If you told me that I was coming to an interview to be in your office and you happened to tell me, dress professional, Jackie, and make sure that you have pen and paper so you can, take notes throughout the interview. And if I walk into your office taking up your time for an interview that you reserve time out of your schedule with and I had nothing in my hands, what are the odds that you're going to ask me where's my pen and paper? And if I told you that it was in the car, what would you say? I was like, oh, I left it in the car. What would you say?
Well, it would seem like you're not very interested or you're not a good candidate or...
Well, yeah, you might not choose to, fire me before I get started, but if I told you, oh, I left it in the car, what would you say to me?
Go and get it.
Ding, ding, that's exactly what I want you to say when I tell you I don't have the money. I mean, I'm sorry, when I tell you I don't have the, you can do that on the money too, but just kidding. When I tell you I don't have the, when I say I don't have pen and paper, I want you to say, go and get it. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
And so let's try that again. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Ring, ring. Hello.
Hey, Jackie, how's it going?
Good.
This is Harlan. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
I don't know. What is this all about?
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
No.
You don't get it.
Okay. Harlan, come on. Listen, here's what you've got to understand. You're building a business, and what's happening is you're fearful that someone's going to reject you. And
yeah.
Your defense mechanism is you make light of it. And the problem is you need to make this shift. You're trying to make light of it before they confront you about it. You want to have the other shift. The other shift is, wait a minute. You might not be qualified to work with me. Let's see what you're going to do next.
Okay.
It is true that you're paying for advertising. And it is true that you're paying for these people to request info and you're giving them a call back. That is 100% correct. But they're making a demand on your time. And it's up to you on how you're going to allow them to treat your time. They have what you've got. They all are looking for a way to work from home. They all are requesting info about something out there. Nobody forced their hand to request info. They all want to do something that's real. They all want to do something that's legitimate. You already have it. You know that you have it. Are there extremely successful people in your organization, your company, Harlan?
Yes.
You know that they're extremely successful with that business model, right?
Yeah.
And do you believe that you can at least direct people on where they can get the training that they need to be successful if they want to?
Yep.
Then the thing that you have to determine is this person respect your time enough for you to direct them to the information that they want? And you have to make that determination. And so right away, watch this. I want you to tell me that you don't have the pen and paper, okay? I'm just going to demonstrate it for you, all right?
Okay.
All right, ready? You can do this, Harlan. You can do this. Ready? All right.
Yeah, ready.
Ring, ring. Say hello.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Harlan. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Jackie. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
I don't know. I requested more information about working from home?
Yes. Do you have pen and paper handy?
No.
You could go ahead and get one?
No.
Harlan, right now I'm interviewing for a long-term business relationship, and this isn't quite getting off on the right foot. So in order to direct you to the information that you requested, I need to ask you a few simple questions. So before I ask you those questions, I need you to grab a pen and paper. Now, are you going to go ahead and get that pen and paper now, or would you like me to move on?
I'll go get the pen and paper right now.
Great. Just let me know once you have that.
Okay, I have it right now.
By the way, Harlan, just so you know, I didn't completely pull that out of thin air. That is part of, I mean, that's the same thing I do if I have someone who's, you know, a difficult prospect. The difference is I, normally what I do, let me just show you this so people don't think, oh, God, he just winged that. Where'd that come from? On page 50, it's the jerk script. So it's the first part of the jerk script. Normally, someone's going to be a jerk when you're forming them. In this case, you know, you were probably just playing around. However, people do that, so it's important. Immediately, you set the tone of, whoa, this is serious. Like, this guy's not joking around with me. So, and what you also do is you set the tone of, oh, I might miss out on something that could be important. So, you know, Harlan, right now I'm interviewing for a long-term business relationship, and this is not quite getting off on the right foot. So if you're absolutely serious about working from home, then you just go ahead and get that pen and paper. Normally, I'll say if you're absolutely serious about working from home, I have a few simple questions I need to ask you, and I'll just go to the next question, whatever that is in the script. If they continue to give me issues, then I'll just read the whole jerk script and let them do what they're going to do. In this case, I just put the ball back in your court, so I need you to grab that pen and paper. Are you going to do that, or do I need to move on? And you said, I'm going to grab it. How did you feel when I said that, by the way?
I felt like it was definitely very serious.
Yeah. Like the Parker Packer kind of goes high. Like, oh, boop. Here's the thing. We never know who's contacting people. We never know if they've been contacted in the past. Harlan, this is a question I got to ask you. Looking at your, this may help us out some too. The advertising that you're calling, is it real time or is it aged?
It's definitely aged.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a mega tip for you. I highly recommend, if you've never called advertising before, there are plenty of leaders, Danny included, that will tell you to call age leads. That's totally fine to get your feet wet. After that, you might as well buy real-time advertising. You're going to get a far better, a far warmer response when you buy real-time advertising. When you call someone back and they're like, oh, yeah, I was just looking at the website. Or, oh, yeah, I just saw that. That's a totally different conversation. Have you ever called real-time at all yet, Harlan?
Is that the newest one available on EarnPro?
The EarnPro has several leads. They normally say real-time advertising, like real-time, short form or nationwide or whatever. But it literally says real-time. You'll see, in fact, let me just go. There's nothing wrong with calling age leads, by the way, but you just expect it just is what it is. I mean, it's a much colder lead to call. The only thing worse than age data, by the way, is like genealogy list. Like they're just rough. Like hot age leads. That's such a cute word. Hot age leads. They're just aged. They're not any hot or any cold. They're just aged. Live response leads. Those are real time. Danny Johnson Secret Millionaire leads. Those are real time leads. I'm looking at EarnPro right now. And if you want to supplement with age leads, that's fine. But everybody should be buying some real-time leads. Everybody, everybody, everybody. And by the end of this class, like, you're all buying real-time leads. Now, here's the thing. I want to go ahead and tell you this. A lot of times people, when it comes to advertising, again, they like freak out a little bit. They're like, it amazes me that people will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to get started in this industry, and then they want to find out how to spend less than $100 to advertise. Advertising is the lifeblood of your business. It is absolutely the lifeblood of your business. So you definitely – one of the things that you want to look at advertising is you want to understand that it's an investment. If you have an autoresponder series, you're building a list with an autoresponder series. And as you're talking to people, the more conversations you can have the quickest, the better off you're going to be. So, Harlan, I can tell you right now, this your numbers here, this – 726,152 conversations, some people going to a presentation, alone, even if you don't change your skill set, if you buy real-time advertising, you're going to see that number go up, hands down. I promise you'll see that number. If you don't believe me, test it out next week. Buy some real-time advertising, and you'll see more people that you'll actually get to send your email to. How many of these people don't remember requesting information, Harlan?
I would say, gosh, I don't know, maybe like 20%.
Okay, that's high.
Something like that.
If someone tells you on real time that they don't remember requesting the information, and you have their name and their phone number, and it's clearly accurate because you just dialed the number and they answered, then they're lying to you. But when someone's aged, then they're probably not lying to you. They don't remember. Like, for example, Harlan, serious question. Do you remember what you ate for supper last Tuesday night?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't even remember what I had for supper last night unless I stop and think about it. So the odds that someone actually remembers browsing the internet, stumbling on some advertisement somewhere, filling it out a week ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, I mean – you really are. There's a reason that advertising is so cheap, and there's a reason a real-time lead is $2, $3, $4. So here's how you want to look at advertising. It all depends on your business model. Some of you have business models where you make a lot of money up front when you enroll people, meaning like you can make a few hundred dollars up front. Harlan, is your business model one where you make like a lot of money up front, or is it one that you make your money on the back end, like it has a long-term stable residual income, but it takes a little longer to build it up?
Honestly, Jackie, I don't know. I'm
okay,
so new to this. I'm just kind of diving into it and figuring it out as I go along.
Good enough. Here's what's important for those of you Harlan, that's by the way, an excellent answer. You have no idea how phenomenal that answer is because you clearly have not gotten caught up with trying to, you know, understand all the unimportant stuff, yet you've invested in your time and effort and skill set and in your advertising to have enough people to call to be able to be on a call. So you, if you're focusing on figuring out how to build it, the company will take care of the payments. They've got software. They've got people in place to figure that out, and they'll send you a check for your results. So that's brilliant. Here's the thing. There's a lot of times people freak out because they're like, if I spend like, you know, $300 or $500 in advertising, like, you know, they start trying to calculate how many people, how many new customers they got to bring on board, and what are the odds I'm going to bring that many customers on board. In most cases, you're not, especially if you're only making, you know, 50 or 100 bucks or less per customer. You're not going to break even on your advertising probably with your first order or your second order. A gentleman I know that when he hit seven figures in this industry, and I remember asking him, I said, how did you teach people advertising? And he told me something that was brilliant. He taught everyone to plan that they're building this business for the long term. So you take a six-month approach to it, your advertising budget. It's 6 months is your plan. So you're going to be building this thing, and the goal is in 6 months you're breaking even on your advertising budget. So where do you want to break even at? You want to break even at $300 a month in advertising? You want to break even at $500 a month? Because, you know, Harlan, if you break even at $500 a month on your advertising budget, how much are you earning from your company every month?
$500.
Exactly. So the goal is, where do you want to be breaking even at in 6 months? Do you want to break even at $1,000? Do you want to break even at, you know, that's kind of the thought process. And then as long as you're breaking even, you know that every month after that, you're going to be earning profit. And that really is your goal. It, depending on your, some of you have the ability to be able to make that money, you know, your first, second, third month, you can make a lot of money really quick. Others of you, it's more of a long-term, stable, residual kind of thing. It doesn't matter. Every business needs advertising. Every business needs advertising. Just by calling more real-time advertising, you will see your numbers, your ratios increase from the number of people going to a presentation. All right. Harlan, I want to try this one more time, and I want you to have the authority of someone who's building a successful business model. You know this thing that can work, Do you believe in Danny Johnson's training?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you believe in your company's products?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you believe in your company's business model?
I don't know much about it, but I'm just learning it as I go along. So.
Well, the answer is yes, or you wouldn't be building it, right?
Oh, that's true.
Right? You would have never got started if you didn't believe it was a viable, reliable, legitimate business model. Is it legitimate?
It has to be because it's worked for other people. I'm thinking.
Do you buy products from them? Do they ship them to you?
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's legitimate. Great job. That's awesome. It's legitimate. It's obviously legitimate. So whoever that prospect is, they don't have access to the training that you have access to. They don't have access to the business model that you have access to. You have literally plugged in to a multi-million dollar business model, meaning that your company has invested probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, in testing marketing and legals, you know, in the legal department to put everything together for you, and web, you know, development and web copywriting and program and software and structures. You know, many companies have these massive campuses that are multi-million dollar campuses in and of themselves. I mean, there are entrepreneurs within your company that started this thing that have put a lot on the line, and they've probably been doing it for quite a while. So you clearly know it's real, you clearly know it's legit, and you have access to all of that. The question is, are you going to allow the individual that you're talking to who answers that telephone and says hello, are you going to allow them to have access to that?
Yes.
Maybe, if they're qualified.
Okay.
Make sense? You're not looking for everybody, Harlan. You are not looking for everybody. You're looking for the people that have desire, the people that seem hungry. And the way that you know if they're qualified is, are they following simple directions? Do you follow me?
Yes.
Are they? If you tell them to go to a website, then they go to a website. If you schedule a follow-up appointment, then they show up for the follow-up. If someone schedules an appointment and they are incapable of making a telephone appointment, we're not even talking about showing up at an office. If you were doing an interview, Harlan, and you scheduled someone for an appointment to start, and you said, hey, you know what, you got the job, show up Monday morning, 8 o'clock, so we can start your training, and I show up at 9 o'clock, what are the odds that I still got that job?
I would fire you.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you're going to do to someone who schedules an appointment with you and they refuse to show up. They're not qualified. If they call you back or they email you and they're apologetic, then you get to make the determination whether you're going to accept them back into the process or not.
Okay.
You follow me? Your goal is to eventually build a multi-million dollar enterprise. And if you don't want to make that kind of income, Harlan, maybe you don't. At the very least, your goal is to determine whether you're going to allow someone else to have access to that multi-million dollar enterprise. Make sense?
Yeah. Yep.
But that is your decision. So, all right, let's get started. Ring, ring. Hello?
Hello?
Ring, ring. Hello?
Hey, Jackie, how's it going?
It's good.
This is Harlan. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
I don't know. What you got?
Do you have a pen and paper handy?
I don't.
You know, Jackie, right now I'm interviewing for long-term business relationships, and this is not quite getting up on the right foot. So if you're absolutely serious about generating a six-figure income working from home, you need to get the pen and paper. How did you say that?
Okay, pause. You did it right. You were doing a great job. By the way, what I would do, whenever someone doesn't have the pen and paper the first time, then I always believe in second chances. So give them a chance to get it. That's what I would have done different. That's the only thing I would have done different there. I would have given me a chance to get it. You didn't get it. In other words, I would have just said, get it. What I mean is, watch.
Oh, okay.
So you just say, can you go ahead and get it? So watch. Let's do it. You do it, okay? I want you to be the prospect. Ring, ring. Say hello.
Hello?
Hi, Harlan. How's it going?
Good.
This is Jackie. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
Oh, I'm looking for more information about working from home.
Do you have pen and paper handy?
No.
Okay. Can you go ahead and get it?
Sure.
To save us both time. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
yeah.
just ask them to get it. Nine times out of ten, Harlan, when you tell them to get it or you ask them to get it, either way, they're going to get it.
Okay.
And that's what you will rarely, at that point anyway, have to try to read the jerk script. If you just tell them to get it, they're going to get it.
Okay.
And once they get it, then you'll just continue on the script, unless they're driving. See, this is the key. One of the reasons you want to tell them to go ahead and get the pen and paper, and I don't mean demand it. Be polite. Can you go ahead and get it? You know, but just assume, say it with like you expect them to do it. Can you go ahead and get that? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because what they may tell you is, actually, I'm driving right now. See, that's important to know. If I'm driving down the highway trying to keep myself from getting in a wreck, what are the odds that I'm going to pay attention to a thing that you say, or I'm going to be able to check an email?
Mm-hmm.
Not very good, right? So what you would do in that case is you would just schedule the appointment for later.
Okay.
All right. So that's why you want to, you know, and Harlan, we're going to stop right there because I'm going to move on to some other people, but I think that you have already, we've gotten a lot out of this right now. I want you to do me a favor, and this really goes for everyone on the call. This is the number one. Harlan, I'm about to give you the number one advice that I give people that doesn't get followed. But before I give you this advice, the question is, when I give you this advice, are you going to follow it? Otherwise,
yes.
I'll just hold off. Are you
sure?
You
know, tell me. Yes.
It's not
yes.
hard. There's nothing hard about it. For some reason, people don't do it. I want you to record yourself prospecting. And then I want you to go back and listen to yourself and see how you feel about what you hear. I don't mean, oh, my God, I hate the sound of my voice. We all hate the sound of our recorded voice. But pretend it's not you. If somebody called you on the telephone when you requested information, how would you feel, how would you respond to that individual? So I want you to record yourself prospecting several people. And if you have the ability to do it, you can do it however you want. Sometimes people do it with their phone. I'm not a tech person. I don't care if you put a tape recorder right beside your desk and you just record your side of the conversation. You'll still get an idea about what you sound like. Because you're going to pick up things, and I want you to go back and listen to these classes, not only just our interaction, but the rest of the interaction in the class. You're going to pick up things that you did not recognize. In other words, you're going to find areas of improvement that you didn't even know about. But the one area is you have to recognize that you are building a substantial business model. You're part of a tremendous industry. And it doesn't matter whether the individual on the phone recognizes that yet or not. Ultimately, you're the one doing the interview, and you're the one who's going to make the decision about whether they're going to work with you or not. Follow me?
Okay. Okay.
You got any questions?
No, not right now that I can think of.
Okay. My advice is go record yourself, go back and listen to this class, and I highly encourage you to buy some real-time advertising from Earn Pro Leads, because you're just going to see. First of all, part of what's happened is you probably have heard a lot of rejection from really old leads, and you create this defense mechanism, and you probably create some bad habits because you have the ability to keep picking up that telephone, but you're almost expecting them to respond a certain way. When you call
That is so true. That is so true.
How do I know that? I know that because of how you're interacting on the phone. The laughing that you do a little bit, like you're nervous. First of all, you don't have a reason to be nervous. How much do you pay per lead on these age leads you're calling?
Like 40 cents, I think.
Okay. They're a 40-cent lead. They're not even at 40 cents a lead, they're not near valuable enough to make you nervous. Do you follow me?
Okay.
They are 40 cents. Have you ever lost or dropped 40 cents anywhere in your life and didn't know where it went?
Yeah.
Yeah, poof, gone. It's 40 cents. It's nothing. Your time is more valuable, okay? So don't let these people – so call some real-time advertising, order some, and get as much as you can, because the more people you talk to, ultimately the more money you're going to make. And you're going to have far better conversations, and I will bet you – dollars to donuts, I don't know where that phrase comes from, but I will bet you're going to see a higher percentage of the number of people you're able to read that script to and take them to a live, to your email. All right?
Wait, I should do that even though they're like really expensive and it's right now, like I should do that, right? Is that your advice, Jackie?
Harlan, expense is is literally a frame of mind. You work with, you've got people in your own family that would have told you were crazy to be on this class because it's too expensive. College is expensive. A $3 lead is not. So, yes, I highly recommend that you buy real-time advertising. I get all of my new people I work with, and I work with poor people just like everybody else, rich people, whatever. We're all broke normally when we get started. That's just kind of how it works, at least most of us. Let me tell you the story how I started. My first advertising budget was $300, and I didn't make any money. My next advertising budget was $300, and I didn't make any money. When I say I didn't make any money, I mean I didn't even enroll one person. Not $10, not $50, not $100. I made nothing. And I remember kind of like panicking a little bit, like, oh, my gosh. Panicking in the fact of, how am I going to get more advertising? You know, what am I going to do? I mean, I didn't have any savings. I didn't have any credit, really. I didn't have nothing. So it was like, what am I going to do? And I remember I was so frustrated. This is a true story. I was living in a single-wide trailer paying $300 a month in rent. The trailer was not even furnished at all. I mean, well, okay, let me tell you what I had. I had a bedroom set, same bedroom set I had when I was 12 years old, and at this point I was 23, I think, or 22. I had no living room furniture. I had one of those plastic bins you get from Walmart, the store, a bunch of junk in. You know what I'm talking about, Harlan? Those big plastic Rubbermaid bins.
Yeah.
That's what my TV sat on, and the TV was given to me in my living room. There's no furniture in the living room. And so I had a desk that and a computer that somebody had given me. It was actually a roommate who stayed with me for a few months and didn't pay rent. And because he felt guilty, he left me his crappy computer and computer desk that was falling apart. True story. And that's how I started working my business on. And I remember being so frustrated because I was like, oh, I've not gotten any money until the next paycheck. I cannot wait for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks and not be talking to anybody. And I remember going to the bathroom, taking a shower, and I was just thinking like, crap, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden it hit me. You know what? When I went through college, I was always fearful that some sort of unexpected expense would come up that I couldn't afford. It's a long story, but I was pretty much putting myself through college. And I had a one-gallon pickle jar. And you ever seen one of those, Harlan?
Yeah.
Okay. I had a one-gallon pickle jar. I can even remember tell you the brand of the pickles. It was Mount Olive Pickles. And I had, in college, I filled that, when you just lose change, I filled that pickle jar up with nothing but silver change. Well, two-thirds, three-quarters of the way full. And I never spent it because I was fearful. I knew there was at least, you know, a couple hundred dollars in there, but I never spent it because I was fearful that I would have car trouble or something, and I would need that money. And by this point, I had been out of college, and I had been working for a year or two as a nurse. And I started my job behind the eight ball financially, so that's part of the reason why I was still struggling. You know, I had a house that wasn't furnished or anything. I remembered I still had that pickle jar in my closet, in the back of the closet. I literally had a burst of energy, jumped out of the shower, got that pickle jar, dumped it out. I counted out like $40, went to Walmart, bought a change sorter. Back then you could roll change and take it to the bank. I spent all afternoon into the evening rolling that change and took it to the bank the next day. I had $600 and some change, I don't know, $620, $630, something like that. And I immediately called up an advertising company and placed another advertising order and got started. I ended up making about $3,000, if I remember correctly, on that advertising order. I highly recommend. I am not telling you to go get into debt and to, you know, skip the mortgage or whatever else, Harlan. But I am telling you to do what it takes to make sure that you're going to be talking to people. And real-time advertising, I'm a huge, huge proponent of that, at least partial. If you're not going to do that, create your list of warm market. If you're not going to do that, go pass out flyers. But you need to be having live conversations every single day with people. Every single day. You need to be reading that script every single day. You did seven presentations. I believe you can get to the point that you're doing seven presentations in a day. By the way, without making more than 700 dials.
Yeah.
And that can happen with two things, your skill set. But you'll probably double your number of presentations, maybe even triple it, literally, just by using real-time advertising as opposed to age data, age leads. The key to real-time advertising is when you unpause it, call them as soon as they come in. As soon as you get the email or you get notified, I don't know if you have like a contact manager or something, as soon as you get notified, I want you to call them right away. In fact, you hope they're still on your website or they just requested the info. They're like, oh, yeah, I just saw that, you know. That's what you want. That's if you call someone back and you say, hey, you request more info about working from home, and they're like, oh, yeah, I just saw that. Now, isn't that going to be a far better conversation?
I don't know.
You're right, you don't. Take my word on it. That's a far better conversation than the person that says, yeah, I think I requested that a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That's a far different person. So test it out. Yeah, so your question was, do you recommend I go ahead and do it? Since, you know, even though they're like $3 or $4 a lead, yes, or $2 a lead or whatever. Yes, I do recommend that you go ahead and at least test it out and get some right away. All right?
Okay.
Perfect, Harlan. Great job.
Thank you so much for your time, Jackie.
You're welcome. All right, Carrie, can you put Harlan back into the class? And next up, we have... Oh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to mess this up. It's Emma Carrillo, I think. Carrillo.
Okay. Emma's line is open.
Hey, Emma, how's it going?
Hi, good, Jackie. How are you?
I am doing good. You enjoying the class so far?
Oh, yes. Learning a lot.
Good deal. Okay. So you're talking to lukewarm market, right?
Both lukewarm and cold.
Okay, and you made 105 dials in 8 hours, and you had 11 conversations, right?
Yes.
And when conversations, what does that mean?
I actually went through the script, and some of them I was able to send to a video. Others would tell me they're not interested, you know, halfway through the video.
Okay. Halfway through the video? When you say presentation, you mean that...
I'm sorry, halfway through the script.
Okay. You got that response with lukewarm market or cold market?
With cold market, basically.
Okay. Did your lukewarm market go through?
Those are from flyers, and I got a really good response with flyers. They actually did go to the video, but somehow... when I asked them those questions, I just lost them there.
Okay. All right. You know, it's really funny. Some people consider lukewarm flyers. Here's my take on this. If I haven't ever met them face-to-face, and I don't know what Brian and Smart Networker says, but here's the thing. If I haven't met someone face-to-face, I consider that cold market. But I will tell you, the flyers are, you know, you got to do a lot of work to produce the leads. I mean, you got to go out there and pass. Like, if you pass out 100 flyers, Emma, how many phone calls do you get?
I would say about 7.
You get 7 phone calls and 100 flyers.
About.
Well, that's a staggering number. Good job. I would pass out plenty of flyers. So you get 7 phone calls. You got to pass out 100 flyers. In your case, you get 7 phone calls. A lot of people are getting like 1, 2, and 3, and 4. 7's good.
Mm-hmm.
So you get 7 phone calls on 100 flyers. But when you call those people, you got to pass out a lot of flyers to you know, get, you know, to have 20, 30 conversations. You got to take out the time to go pass the flyers. But those people, when you do call them, they're more often there. They take your phone call a lot more often. Like, it is a really – a flyer lead – is a really good lead, even if you only got 1 phone call out of 100 flyers. You're like, gosh, I got to pass out 1,000 flyers to get 10 leads. Well, yeah, you got to have realistic expectation if that's what your numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
But they're 10 leads that are far better. They're not going to be as good as your neighbor that knows you and has been living next to you for 10 years, but they're going to be far better than someone. You have instant trust when someone gets the ability that you could be someone that they know or met in their community.
Yes.
You have a level of trust that you're not going to have with, you know, someone who requests info online. So, good job, by the way, for getting out there and passing out flyers. You've done a little bit of both. Of the 11 conversations that you had, how many were flyers and how many were your internet advertising?
Those 11 conversations were all just cold.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So these 11 conversations were all cold. Okay, great job.
Right.
And you got 3 of them to a presentation, but you said some of them stopped in the middle and said they weren't interested.
Right.
All right. And are you using real-time or aged data?
I started off with aged, but I was listening to what you were telling, Harlan, and I went this week I went to the live response, and there is a huge difference.
So you can vouch for me. There's a massive difference.
Yes.
Okay. Harlan, just to FYI, there's some more proof. What is the difference when you call them?
Well, I was actually able to have some really interesting conversations, and I actually spoke to a couple of people in Puerto Rico, and one of them is, like, really interested. They immediately responded very warmly. None of them told me that they weren't interested so far. I've only done like 15. I just started today.
Okay.
Good job.
Good job. So that's the difference. Good job. And as your business grows, Emma, that's one area that I would encourage you to keep growing your advertising.
Okay.
With more real time advertising as your business grows. So let's talk about this. Let's role play a little bit and let's see what I can help you with. You got your script?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right. So you're calling me. Ring, ring, and I'll say hello.
Okay.
Hello?
Ring, ring.
Hello?
Hi, Jackie. How's it going?
It's going good.
This is Emma. I'm calling you back. You requested more information about working from home. What can I do for you?
I don't know. What is it all about?
Well, do you have a pen and paper handy, Jackie?
I can get one.
Great. I'll wait.
Good job. All right, I got it.
Okay, to save us both time, I need to ask you a few questions to figure out what information to direct you to.
Okay.
Are you currently working from home, Jackie?
No, I'm not.
When you have worked, what have you done for a living?
Well, I'm a nurse.
Oh, okay. And how long have you been doing that?
Well, now it's only been, I guess, going on 3 years.
Great. What do you like about it?
I like that I get to help people. I mean, it's a really fulfilling job.
Right. Tell me more about that.
Well, I mean, you get to help people. I mean, it's not like like in the past. I mean, I worked on a farm and I was a laborer. Like, that's kind of a day-to-day mundane sort of thing to do. But when you work like in a nurse, like every day you're taking care of real individuals, real souls, people who need you, and you know that when you get done with the shift, like you've every single day you've helped somebody, you've done something positive to impact another person. Like that's really fulfilling.
Great. Sounds like you really have a passion for what you do. Now, is there anything you dislike about your job?
Well, I mean, yeah, I hate being micromanaged. It feels like I got a million different bosses, and I mean, you know, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of expectations on you. It's extremely stressful, and you know, and I'm not making enough money. So yeah, there's plenty that I don't like about it.
Okay, great. Now, are you thinking of replacing your income or just supplementing it, Jackie?
Well, I would probably supplement it and maybe replace it later.
Okay. Are you married, Jackie?
No.
Do you have any kids?
Nope.
Okay. Well, have you ever been self-employed or owned a home business before?
Oh, yeah, I've tried a lot of things.
Yeah, like what?
Oh, I've done everything. I got scammed one time through a thing in the mail. Just a lot of things. If you name it, if I've looked on the internet, I've probably tried it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that can be hard.
You there? Emma, are you there?
Customer. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, I don't know if I cut out or you cut out there. Last thing I heard you say was, yeah, that can be hard.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. It might have been my phone. I don't know. But I can hear you just fine
now. Okay. Okay, great. So, Jackie, what level of income are you accustomed to?
Well, I do about $30,000 a year.
Okay. What kind of income are you looking to generate in the next 12 months?
As much as I possibly can.
Sure, sure. Now, Jackie, do you have some capital set aside to start your business?
Do I need capital?
Well, yes, you do.
Okay. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't have any capital.
Okay. Well, you know, Jackie, our company has quite a standard for the company we're looking for. There is a lot of work on our part in setting up someone in a home business successfully. So we're looking for people who are absolutely serious about building a business and making money from home. So, Jackie, how serious are you about starting a home business?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty serious. But
okay.
I mean, you said I need capital.
Yes.
You know what? I just don't think this is for me. Maybe this isn't for me. Thank you for your time. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay.
Has
that ever happened before?
yes.
Okay.
And that's where I get into a jam sometimes because I start telling them how they can generate it and I give them ideas.
Oh my. Wow. Okay, first of all, you got courage to try to overcome an objection on the spot. There's definitely something to be said for that.
I was just about to do it with you, but I thought no.
Okay, how effectively does that work when you do it in the past?
Well, what I suggest sometimes to them is that we can have a home party, a home party.
Okay, yeah. So let me ask you this. How many of those people have gotten started with you and made money?
Yeah, no.
That doesn't work. All right. So, because now you're begging them.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So what do I do
first
here?
First of all, good job, by the way, for even just the fact that you have the courage to be able to attempt to overcome an objection. I'm going to help you overcome that differently. But the fact that you have the ability to overcome the objection, I mean, you know, you clearly are, you know, doing your very best to be very serious about your business. You're putting in a good effort on a part-time basis, which is nothing wrong with being part-time. I mean, you know, the reality is most people in this industry are part-time. There's nothing wrong with that. Good job also, by the way, when you said, when I told you that I was going to get it, I wasn't going to stop you. I wanted to see what you would respond to, because sometimes people just keep going. And when I said, I'll go get it, you actually said, I'll wait. Good job.
Thank you.
The reason that's good is because that builds trust. It shows that you were listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows this is a real conversation, and you're not a telemarketer just trying to sell me.
Okay.
In other words, you weren't just trying to get on with the script. You were having a real conversation at that moment. You're like, okay, I'll wait. Or you could have said, you know what, let me know once you have it. You know, whatever.
Okay.
But what you did was fine. That was a great job. Great job.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I told Harlan to record himself. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And here's why. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Watch this. Here's what you were doing. Watch this. Ready?
Okay.
I'm just going to pick it up right here. Are you currently working from home?
No.
No. What do you do for a living?
I'm a dentist.
Oh, wow. Wow. How long have you been doing that?
About 26 years.
Oh, my. You probably love it. What do you like about it?
Well, that I get to help people in many ways, from removing their pain to actually making them look better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Making them smile again.
Okay. Sure. What do you dislike about it?
The fact that I can never really take any time off. I'm always pretty much on call, or I have to stay close by. The hours are pretty long, and it gets hard on the body after a while.
I bet. All right, pause. Have I started to know you a little bit yet?
Yeah.
Okay. That's something that you're doing, attempting to relate to people, and it's almost become nervous. You're not even conscious how much you're doing it, but you have a comment after every answer I gave.
That is true.
So, and again, you've done this somewhere along the way trying to be more relatable. The problem with that is you're trying to be someone that you're not. People trust real people. Have you been to First Steps yet, Emma?
Oh, yeah. Yes,
okay.
Twice.
Okay, so you know that Danny Johnson is the farthest thing from a polished speaker.
Yeah.
Like, she is not the world's most polished Toastmaster-approved public speaker, right?
Yes.
But she's real, and that's why people trust her. That's why they follow her advice, because it's real. People, before they can go into business with you, they have to feel like they can trust you, and people trust people that are real.
Okay.
So your personality, just be yourself. In other words, it should go more like this. Watch this. We're going to pick it up right in the middle at the forming section. So are you currently working from home?
No.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a dentist.
How long have you been on that?
About 26 years.
What do you like about it?
The fact that I can help people create a better smile, remove their pain, just make them feel more comfortable.
What do you dislike about it?
Basically, the how hard it is on the body after a while. It gets really tough, and the fact that I can't go too far from the office for too long. I have to pretty much stay close by.
Now, what do you mean when you say you can't go too far from the office?
Well, I can't take, like, extended vacations. Sometimes I want to travel, and it's really difficult to leave a practice where you're the only producer, and if you don't produce, you don't get paid.
All right, pause right there. Now, in the script book, one of the things Danny says above the forming paragraph is she says some questions to ask. Here's what's interesting. I added a question in there that I was sincerely curious about. I didn't add any of the, sure, okay, got it. What's mm-hmm. funny is by me asking you a question, you talked more on that question and revealed more about yourself than you've said the entire time.
Okay.
You clearly started opening up by me asking a question. In other words, if you're genuinely interested in something they're saying, feel free to ask an additional question. But when someone answers a question, you're like, right, you immediately shut them up.
That's true. I do that.
That is really true. And when someone feels like you're shutting them up, and it's subconscious, right? They don't think you said shut up, but they didn't feel mm-hmm. open to keep going. When someone feels like you shut them up, then their trust isn't being developed. You don't feel like you're genuinely interested in them.
Right. And I think I do that because I feel they're going to just become uninterested, or they're going to I just want to get through the script, I think.
Right.
And I'm trying to make sure that I get through it.
And your goal of making certain that you get through it and they don't become uninterested is keeping them from ever becoming interested.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. And then sometimes I feel like they're in a hurry.
But
here's the thing.
Okay. So you're a dentist, right?
Yes.
By the way, great job. Tremendous profession.
It should say
a lot about this industry when people realize that someone of your professional caliber is looking at this industry for another alternative. Because for some reason, people get in their head that they somehow don't understand that this industry is just like every other business model on the planet. It's just a different business model.
That's right.
So, Emma, if I scheduled an appointment with you and I sat in mm-hmm. your chair and you came in there, and I don't know how your practice works, but I'm assuming a hygienist is working with me or whatever, and you came in and you said, hey, doc, I need you to hurry up. I got to get out of here. Well,
okay. Mm-hmm.
How is that going to make you go any faster? Are you going to do any better?
No.
And if I make a habit of that, you might stop seeing me as a patient.
Exactly. That's true.
Same thing here.
Absolutely.
The same
authority
that you have in your dental practice, you need to take in your home business.
That is true.
In other words, you stand your ground in your prospecting, and you just go through the process. If they personally don't feel like they have enough time, meaning if they think that, you know, this is taking too long and they need to get off the telephone, and they make that decision, then they're making that decision that they're not currently qualified, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause all you are sorting through people. So
okay. Now I had a lady just today that was just hurrying me through it. She kept asking me, What is this about? I finally said, you know, I can just send you the link if you like, or do you want me to continue? And she said, No, go ahead and continue.
Oh, okay.
So I continued, but she did it again. And it got to the point that she took over.
Yeah. And what happened is you lost all credibility, mm-hmm. and now she's evaluating whether you're good enough for her.
Mm-hmm. Where should I have stopped her or stopped it?
I'll show you what you should do. But the important thing is to notice the danger in that. It's not an ego thing. That's what I want everyone to realize on this line. It's not about whether, you know, you're the most professional, you're the most dominant. No. It's about what's going to give them the best shot at developing trust with who you are and what your intentions are.
Okay.
The moment that you get interrupted, the moment that they take control of the conversation, you're going to get discarded just like a piece of, you know, junk mail in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever got a bunch of junk mail out of the mailbox before, like a whole bunch of it?
Yes.
Do you ever sort it over the trash can?
Oh, yeah.
Meaning that it's closer to getting thrown away as opposed to you keeping it right from the start. You have no respect for that. You expect to throw most of it away.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be in the position where they're choosing whether they're going to discard you before they even get to your info.
Okay.
So here's what you can do. Well, I want you to interrupt me, all right?
Okay.
Let me get to the right script. I was flipping around here. Okay. All right, ready? So let's just pick it up at the forming, and I want you to attempt to did the same thing that lady did to you.
Okay.
So are you currently working from home?
Well, no, but can you tell me what this is all about? I mean, I've read so many things on the Internet, and I just want to know what it's about.
Yes. What do you do for a living, Emma?
Well, I'm not working right now, but what is this about?
You know, Emma, right now I'm interviewing for a long-term business relationship, and this isn't quite getting off on the right foot, so I need to ask you a few questions so I can determine which information to direct you to. So how long ago was it that you had your last job?
About a year ago.
And what did you do back then?
I was a secretary.
What did you like about it?
But what is this about? I don't understand what it's all about.
Tell me, Emma,
what company it is.
As I said earlier, right now I'm interviewing for a long-term business relationship, and you know this just isn't quite getting off on the right foot. So if you're absolutely serious about generating an income working from home, I have a few simple questions that I need to ask you in order to direct you to the right information. If you're not serious about developing that income working from home, then I'll go ahead and give you my name and phone number. When you get more serious, or if you run into someone who is serious, you can give me a call. So are you ready to get the information that you requested so that you can generate that income from home or not?
Okay. Yes, I am.
Okay. So what did you like about being a secretary?
That I got to work with people.
What did you dislike about it? Pause. Do you see the difference?
Yes.
It's very polite. It's just direct. And I'm still leading the conversation.
This was, and I don't know if it makes any difference, but this was a lady that spoke Spanish only, and I mean, she spoke 90 miles an hour, and I mean, I just couldn't even get a word in.
Yeah, it makes no difference. If you would have interrupted me again,
uh-huh.
I would have said, hey, Emma, do you still have that pen and paper? I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you my phone number real quick. You ready?
Yes.
It's blah, 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 blah. And let me give you my name again. That's Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E. Do you have that?
Yes.
Listen, we're really busy wrapping up interviews right now, and I really appreciate you our conversation today. If you decide that you're really serious about working from home and you're ready at that point in time to complete an interview, feel free to give me a call back within the next day or two because we're supposed to be doing interviews. If not, no worries. I wish you the best. Have a blessed night.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're never ever going to convince someone that
right.
They need to be serious and pay attention. So there's so much about the script. This goes back to the other thing that that I want to talk to you about. Let me tell you that when you started, the capital question came up and you wanted to address it directly. Everything in the script and what Danny teaches, It's never about meeting your prospects head on, meaning your goal is to never be confrontational in any way. Your goal is to guide them and direct them. The script is if you can imagine proverbially, it's like, I said that word totally wrong, but anyway, it's like coming alongside of them, putting your arm around them and guiding them and leading them to where you want to go, as opposed to meeting them head on and trying to pull them to where you think they ought to go. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally.
So
mm-hmm.
Let me show you how to handle the question real quickly, for example, about the capital. So what kind of income are you looking to generate in the next 12 months?
I don't know. I haven't made any money recently. I don't know where I would start.
Okay. So what kind of income are you looking to be able to generate in the next year?
Well, I guess maybe $1,000 to $2,000 a month.
And do you have some capital set aside to start your business?
No.
You know, Emma, our company is quite a standard for the people that we're looking for. There's a lot of work on our part in setting someone up in a home business successfully. So we're looking for people that are absolutely serious about building a business and making money from home. So, Emma, how serious are you about starting a home business?
Well, I'm serious, but I don't have any money for capital right now or to use right now.
Tell me why you're serious about working from home.
Well, I want to be able to have a different lifestyle. I want to spend more time with my family. I want to be able to travel.
Okay. Gotcha. Pause. You see what happened just then?
Yes.
The
yes.
script is literally designed already as part of the genius of the script to answer that objection.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some capital set aside to start your business? It doesn't matter if they say yes, no, I don't know, do I need it? I got some savings. It has no. It does not matter what they say. The very next sentence is 100% appropriate for whatever response.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you say wow? So that's one of the. This is where we always say, don't reinvent the wheel. Follow the script. Follow the script. There's these little things that we don't always recognize. The genius
right.
behind his script. I know Danny was homeless with $2.03 to her name when she started this, but somewhere along the way, that's brilliant. Like, that is really brilliant.
Yes. Yes.
And what it does with me not focusing on, oh, well, you know, can't you do a home party or whatever? What my nonverbal is telling you is I'm not worried about your money. I'm worried about you as a person.
Okay.
That's what my nonverbal is telling you. I'm more concerned about where you're at. You know, how serious are you about starting a home business? Tell me why. Like, that's what I'm concerned with.
Right.
And without me saying it, right? It's just the nonverbal. So,
yes. See the difference.
We covered a lot. Did that help you?
It certainly did. That's exactly what I've been doing. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Emma. Again, way to go. I mean, on a part-time basis, you know, obviously around a dental practice, you know, you're
between
putting in
patients.
Dinner. What'd you say?
Between patients, I do this.
Literally? Literally?
Literally.
Oh, my goodness.
I call one or two in between if I have a cancellation or if I, I'll just get on the phone and start calling.
I love it. I love it. Good for you. And there's people. Yeah, I love it. And there's people in this world that would not even, you know, they would use that as an excuse as why they can't build a business on the side. You spent 8 hours last week, made 105
mm-hmm.
calls, and you had 11 conversations, took three people to a presentation on a part-time basis between patients. That is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Becky.
You're very welcome. All right. Here's what I'm going to do now. And, Carrie, if we can put her back in the class. Here's what I'm going to do. We got a few minutes here. I'm going to take a question or two, and it's basically, you know, first come, first serve. So if you have a question about, you know, prospecting in general or something you heard tonight maybe, then feel free to step out. And, Carrie, we'll just take the first. Can you tell them how to raise your hand or whatever?
Sure. Press the number 1 on your phone. That'll get you into the queue.
There you go. And just first one, Carrie's fine.
Okay. Looks like the first one is Amy Lee. Amy, your line's open.
Hi, Amy. Welcome.
Hey, Jackie.
Hello. What can I do for
Hi.
You?
Hi. Okay, so when I'm prospecting, I think one of the things that I'm having a challenge with is not being able to find people's signs. And I understand that you're supposed to form them, and that is something that I am still actively working on. But I still feel like at the end of the presentation that I'm not really connecting well with them enough to use their sign back. Does that make sense? So sometimes when I send somebody to a presentation and I look at my notes, there's hardly anything on my notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me make a confession to you, and that is
okay.
that – And I know how Dane teaches this, but I did not learn that. Like, I didn't realize she was teaching that way. In other words, I didn't get the specific training on this part of prospecting until a long time later. And I just I don't write notes when I'm talking to the people. Part of it is I don't multitask well. So I just don't write notes when I'm talking to them. But what's important, like, signs, maybe it's important for you to understand where the sign's coming from. So do you know what question in the script tells you their strengths?
What do they like about what they do?
Yes. That tells you their strengths.
Right.
So when you find out what their needs are, that comes in a couple places. One is, what is it they dislike about what they do?
Okay.
That's a need. Like, that's where they oftentimes say their needs. Well, I don't like that I don't make enough money, or I don't like that I have no control over my time. Or I don't like that I'm micromanaged. Or I don't like that I live paycheck to paycheck. another area where you can find a need, interest, and goals really is in one question, and that is how serious are you about starting a home business? Well, I'm very serious. Tell me why. That gives you a lot of information. Are you thinking of replacing your income or supplementing it? That gives you a bit of the information. Well, I want to replace it. That tells you, you know, they want to leave their job. That helps corroborate what they told you they disliked about their job.
Okay. A lot of times what I get when I ask people what they like about what they do is that they're in some kind of customer service and they say, I just like to work with people.
Tell me more about that.
Oh, that was easy.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's another question. So then after you say, so Jackie, how serious are you about starting a home business? Then they would say, well, I don't know. Well, I don't even know what this is. I'm kind of blind here. So then I go straight into telling them about the company, but I totally skip the part of tell me why. So I haven't found out their need yet. So in that case, would you skip over that or would you actually repeat that again because they didn't answer the question?
No, I think that's I think it's fine to handle it the way you did. Like you just go into the company, like when they start
right.
to give you like that little bit of objection. That's okay. I do the same thing sometimes if they're like still just standoffish, right? The key is you're not going to crack every nut, okay?
Okay.
I still get people that are standoffish with one-word answers or whatever. It doesn't mean that I don't use all the skill over the years that I have to attempt to break through there. Because if I break through there, here's what's really important for those. You don't ever want to be focused on, quote-unquote, getting the easy sale or the easy customer. The easy sale or easy customer is an easy quit.
Mm.
The hard sell, the hard customer, the skeptical customer, the nervous, hesitant customer, they're the ones that once they're in, they're in. They're stable. They're much longer term. So a lot of times people get caught up. They're like, oh, you know, all my leads are broke. Of course they're broke. That's why they're looking to work from home. Of course. Everybody has objections initially, but once they overcome their objections, they can become very, very serious. One of the questions about their needs, when you ask them what they dislike about it, they tell you part of their needs. They tell you part of their needs. I think the biggest issue, Amy, is you want to make certain that you're taking a genuine interest in them. The reason that you might not be asking the question, like, tell me more about that, and the reason that it hasn't occurred to you to do that, is because you're focused on just getting through the process so you can get to the next one.
Okay.
I may not be right on that, but that could be what's going on.
I'm trying to be genuinely interested in people. I'm trying to love people. That's something that I'm learning to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
The fact that you're learning to do it means that you recognize that it's not something that's always come natural for you. And that's
right.
Okay. That's okay.
Yes.
That's honest, by the way. That's honest. That's real. That realness, by the way, will help you go a long ways in this industry. So good job. That's totally okay. Continue to work on it and just be genuinely interested. When they ask you a question, be genuinely interested in it. Even if they have a career. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do people tell you that they do certain things for a living that you always like find? Are there some people who tell you things that you find fascinating that you'd like to know more about?
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Are there some people that tell you something and you're like, like, okay, whatever, I know what that is.
Yeah.
When you say, when you're internally, when you admit that you're like, yeah, okay, I know what that is, what you're also saying is, I'm not interested in what they're doing. Do you follow me?
Yes.
When you catch yourself moving on right away, then you know that you're not taking a genuine interest in what they said. I'm a trash man. Okay, what do you dislike about it? And I'm not saying that you always have to say, tell me more about that. But, for instance, sometimes someone, I'll say, you know, well, how long have you been doing that? Well, I've only done it for a year. What did you do before that? Well, I was a school teacher. School teacher to trash man, that's a big difference, man. How in the world did you make that shift? That's just an example of where I would ask an additional question. Because I'm interested in what happened there. How did that happen? Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe he chose to be a trash man because he wanted to get out of the classroom. He wanted to be by himself.
Right.
Okay, that might be a good thing for him. So, just an FYI to answer your question, Amy.
Yeah, definitely. And I think sometimes my problem is that I am scared that they're going to hang up on me if I ask them too many questions.
Listen, this goes back to the same thing with Harlan, same thing with Emma. You're the one in control. You're the one in control. You're the one in control. Some
yes,
of you, all of you need to go back and listen to this class several times. I would say at least three times between now and next week. But all of you need to make certain that you're listening to Danny's training literally an hour a day. Can I tell you something? I've been doing this for over 11 years in this industry, for over 11 years. I've been a student of Danny's for over 10 years. I listen to her training an hour every day, even now. Even now. Because my brain can go in that same direction. I need something to be shoring me up, keeping me focused, keeping my brain in the right spot. I know that I'm human. I can still make mistakes. I still have to deal with negativity. I read negative news. There's negative people in my life. Make sense, Amy?
Mm-hmm.
You can do this. You're going to do fine. The fact that you're being honest with yourself and that you're able to identify a problem, that has you far and away ahead of plenty of people. You're at least, you know that there's certain areas that you don't know and you need help and you're asking for help. That's huge. I want you to go back to this call, especially listen to the part where I was talking to Harlan at the beginning of the call. I think, Carrie, you can go ahead and put her back in the class. I want you to go back
Thank
and
you.
Listen to, you're very welcome. I want you to go back and listen to where I was talking to Harlan. You're going to be fine. You're going to absolutely, absolutely be fine. It's very important. We're going to wrap this call up. It's very important to keep this in mind, ladies and gentlemen. This script is designed to be an interview. I don't mean to tell you that you're disqualifying people right and left. In fact, you know, there's someone on this class that's probably doing that, and that's not appropriate either. But at the very least, what you're doing is you're reading this script. The goal is to take a genuine interest in an individual and to see what they're doing, where they're going, and what it is they want to accomplish in their life. And if they're not serious, then that is okay. That's on them. Don't get bent out of shape. I mean, you're letting the least qualified prospects that you deal with, the ones who may be negative on the phone or who are really skeptical, like to the point of disrespectful, you're letting the disrespectful, the negative Nelly, the person who's never going to do anything at this current time in their life, you're letting that person dictate how you respond to the people that could be millionaires. The person like me, who when I got started, you know, I was a little skeptical. I mean, I was willing, I was open-minded to look at something, but I had seen plenty of crap out there. But if you would have contacted me expecting me to be skeptical, then I would have been absolutely skeptical. Because you would have provoked that in me, like I'm supposed to be skeptical. If you treat someone like you think they're going to be skeptical, if you treat someone like they're going to reject you, then they're going to act like they need to reject you. But if you treat someone like you're conducting a very professional, polite interview, then they're going to want to step up to be that interviewee. They're going to step up in that position. I just had a girl last week who told me towards the end of the interview, she said, to the end of the script, same script, she said, Do I need to send you my resume? Hello? Do I need to send you my resume? I was just reading the script. I didn't say anything extra. I never told her to send me a resume. But that's just where she psychologically took herself because of how the presentation was going. Because I was directing her to the website, and she was like, I told her I'd send her the email. And she's like, do I need to send you a resume? So keep that in mind. Remember who you are. Remember what your role is. With that being said, do I still get people that I got to read the jerk script to? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I read the jerk script. I move on. I don't waste a moment's thought. I go to the next person. It's just a sorting process. Your goal is to determine who's qualified to build this multi-million-dollar enterprise with you. You're building a long-term, sustainable, stable industry in one of the most lucrative, most profitable, most stable industries in the world. This business model is unlike anything else. There's more leverage built into this business model than exists, period, in any other business model on planet Earth. Period. Period. You're looking for that individual who's ultimately going to be a self-starter and go to work. And it's fine if they don't know how in the beginning. But who's going to take up your time? You're looking for people that are qualified to work with you. You're not looking for people who's trying to determine whether you have the qualities that they're going to work with. You already have the business model. They don't. You already have in your hands what they want to find. All you have to do is act like the person that has what they want to find. There's this whole saying in this industry that's a really bad saying, but it's like, fake it till you make it. There's nothing to fake. You've already made it. You don't have to fake anything. You just have to be yourself and act like you have the business model that they want to be a part of, and read that script just like that person. Listen, coming up Thursday night, you're going to be in the closing class of Mr. Stacy O'Quinn, by far one of the best closers in this industry. I can say that because I have listened to him, and I take notes. I will be on that class, and I will be listening in, and I will be taking notes myself for that class, hoping to pick up a nugget, hoping to learn, hoping to improve my skills, because without question, this gentleman has been able to get people off of a presentation and get them to invest $10,000+ with him immediately following a presentation. He knows how to close. He knows how to close. He knows how to close. He's had people who have overdrafted their credit card and have told him later, he didn't know they overdrafted their credit card, but they told him later, I was so fearful that if I didn't get started, you wouldn't work with me. He never told them that. It was just in his posture. The man knows how to close. He knows how to read their closing scripts. He knows how to deal with objections. He has helped stay-at-home moms. He's helped people that were unemployed, on disability, raise up and make ridiculous incomes. Ridiculous incomes in this industry, and that's who you're going to get to work with. Make sure that you have pen and paper this coming Thursday night. Make sure that you're paying attention. And I don't know if you got distracted this evening during this call or you happened to miss something that was said tonight, but whatever you do, make sure Thursday night that you're not missing a thing that he has to say. I mean literally a thing. If you have the kids interrupting you, if you have the spouse interrupting you, I want you to get off the call tonight and re-explain to the kids how important these calls are. I want you to politely ask your spouse, Thursday night, please don't interrupt me. It's extremely important that I listen to this. If Facebook was bothering you, if IMs were bothering you, I want you to close them all out this Thursday night. I'm saying that all of you on this call, I do not work with directly. I have some personal team members on this call, but most of you are not on my personal team. I do not personally benefit by telling you this, but I want to see you succeed. This industry has to rise up to a whole other level of professionalism. There are people – I watched the Republican debates the other day, and I got to tell you, what a joke. What a joke. I'll probably end up voting for somebody in the presidential race without question. But I know it doesn't matter who I put my vote for down on this flipping presidential race when it comes around. Not one of them have the capability that every single one of you have on this call, and that is that you have the ability to put somebody to work. You have the ability to help someone pay off debt. You have the ability personally to help someone transform their life, and that is something even the President of the United States will not be doing. I'm on this mission with you. I'm proud to be in these classes with you. Have a great night, and God bless.